Julle net van myself af sommer net vir julle net hallo sê. It does. Thanks for. Ja. Ja, dit is regtig goed om vanaand weer by julle te wees en saam in die teenwoordigheid van die Here in te kom. English. Thank you very much. I forgot about that. Cool stuff. Just want to say it's really really nice being together, being with you guys and entering the presence of God and spending time in the presence of God. It's really, really precious. And so I want to thank the worship team for leading us in the presence of God. Tonight's word is going to be a bit different, but I just saw something that I actually want to say before I start with the word. And that's just regarding the fast this coming weekend. I said this morning to the church that we would prefer that if you are not fasting, to not come and pray with us. I just want to change it slightly. And say that we are going to fast for 3 days. You don't necessarily have to fast off everything. So if I'm not sure how many of you have fasted for 3 days straight in a row from everything except water. If you haven't done it and you're a little bit afraid of it, then choose a few things and fast from that, but still come and pray with us. But if you do want to pray with us, then you should at least fast from something, just for agreement. In terms of what God wants to establish within us. It is also, the intercessions is also just for people that are part of this body. And again, it's just the agreement principle. We don't want to leave out people who wants to come, but this is something God wants to tell us something. So we are going to keep the doors closed just for people that are part of this body. So it sounds a bit harsh. It's not our heart, but it's just something that we have to do. But yeah, so if you can't come to all the prayer sessions, it's fine. But at the same time, just fast from something, and then when we come together, we can be one heart and one mind. In terms of the word tonight, it's not that much going to be ministry per se. We're going to just be talking a little bit about our vision for the year and where God is taking us and what He wants us to do. And so it's slightly different. So just stay with us, and we'll see where it goes and what the Lord wants us to do. So I'm just warning you up front that it's going to be slightly different. It's more direction giving than anything else, and it is just continuing with what God's already been establishing. I think when we talk about these things in terms of our vision for the year, where God is taking us, I said it this morning as well. It's always got to do with God's scriptural plan for His body. So our desire is that in everything we do as a church, we will grow in looking more like the body of Christ and in being more the body of Christ. So there's a sort of a two-level thing regarding that. And so it's a continual growth. It's a perpetual thing. And there's no church in the world, and we included it in that, no church in the world that are perfect. And there is some growth that the Lord wants to establish in us. And this is what we feel is the next thing that the Lord wants us to do, to establish that growth inside of us in different focus in terms of what He wants to do in us. So I think as a background thing in terms of approaching these sort of things, there's always two questions that I believe we must ask. And the first one is, what does the body of Christ look like? And then secondly, what does the body of Christ do? So the one is sort of just focusing on who are we. The other one is, I mean, we're here for a reason. We're here to do something. And what exactly would that be? So I think the first question, the whole thing regarding what does the body of Christ look like? In Shofar, we've been talking quite a lot about that in the last few years. So I'm not going to mention too much about that. It's the whole thing about the church being a family. The church being a community. And it's something that the Lord wants to reestablish again. We see a lot of Christians these days walking around completely independent from the body of Christ. And they walk around in a place where they are not covered, they aren't protected, but they also don't grow because they're not in fellowship with other people, with other Christians. And so we've talked a lot about that. I'm not going to say too much. It's still something that's really very important, still something I really believe that God wants to keep us focusing on. And just for those of you who weren't weren't part of all the discussions that we've had, a very, very quick summary would be John 13, where John speaks about saying that by this people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. It's one of them. Last year we had the whole Closed Circle series that Pastor Fred did, talking specifically about Galatians 6 verse 10, where it says, do good unto everyone, but especially unto the household of faith. And so it's really a family thing that the Lord wants to establish, and we've grown a lot in it. There's still a road to grow. We can still grow in our love for one another. We can still grow in our community. We can still grow in all those sort of things, and we are going to continue to do that. And the Lord's just, in a sense, extending our focus with where we're heading this year, and I'm quite excited about that in terms of what he wants to do. I think what we're getting to the second question, in terms of what does the body of Christ do? sorry, we get to the place where we have to start to understand that, yes, okay, we are a family. We have to grow in our love for one another. We have to grow in community, grow towards one another. But being a family, that is not the end goal in itself. There's something bigger. God has got a bigger picture when he looks at that. And I want to read you guys a scripture. Very well-known one in terms of what does the body of Christ do. Matthew 28, verse 19 says there, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. I think we have to put a pointer somewhere in terms of what is the purpose of the church, then this would be it. There's a reason why everyone in the world calls this the Great Commission. It's something that Jesus specifically gave to his disciples, and from his disciples, the church inherited that as a vision, as a goal, as a purpose. And the first two words there, I think, is specifically where we are starting to focus on in terms of where we're heading this year. And it's the words there, go therefore. Maybe we can just use the first one, the word that says go. Last year, when I ministered here the first time, many of you were here that evening, so I'm just going to repeat a quote that I had that evening. And it's a quote that puts into perspective our focus on what is the church. And the quote says that it's not the God of the church that has a mission in the world. It's the God of mission that has a church in the world. In other words, what the church is, the church is God's vessel to accomplish his purposes on earth. The church is not God's end goal. It's his vessel to accomplish his purposes on earth. Now, obviously, the church is the bride of Christ and will continue in perpetuity. I don't know why this happens. It happened this morning as well. But that's okay. Maybe I should just throw the pieces away that I've done, that I'm over with. Throw it over the shoulder or something. Where was I? In any case, the church obviously continues. I mean, we've got the whole marriage supper of the Lamb, all that sort of stuff, once Jesus comes back one day. So the church is a massive part of God's plan, but while on earth, the church has got a mission. The church is not the end, not the end goal. And that's really where our heart comes from in terms of where we are, where we are heading. And I think what's important for us to understand, specifically when, again, we sort of sometimes get confused. We get confused between focusing on the family going, focusing on the family going. And it's all part of one thing. It's all part of the same thing. And again, that John 13 scripture, I actually should have had it up there just for you guys to see it. But I mean, what John says, well, it's actually Jesus speaking to his disciples, saying, by this people will know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. And I think in terms of that as well, our growing together as a family, our being a family, even that, it's not just for us to experience the love of God to a greater degree. It does that, and it's important for that. But there's more than that. God has got to, even with that, even with us growing as a family, growing together, God has got an external vision, an external focus. By this, people will see that you are my disciples. The focus there is the people will see. And he really wants the church to become something that's lucrative is the wrong word, but it's something that people would want. They would want to be part of it. They would look at it and want to be part of it. And that's God's heart, establishing his church in such a way that it will draw people closer. And we're going to trust God this year to really get that established. And really seeing what was Jesus' vision when he said that he came to seek and to save the lost, to really see that established in terms of our own vision and our own focus as well. And I'm going to talk a little bit about how we're going to accomplish that, how we're going to change our focus in terms of that. So, yeah, in terms of a vision for the year, we will continue to focus on being a family, but then we will also focus on the reason we are a family, and that is the people that are not in relationship with God. So I want to say it now, and I clarify it even now. When we're talking about people who are not in relationship with God, and I'm going to say this more than once because I want us to get this mindset right. We talk about outreach in terms of our focus for this year. We're going to make it specifically local. We're still going to go somewhere far because that's still what we have to do, but we're going to make our focus here. And when I say we want to reach the unsaved people, I'm not talking about people in other churches. If they're in churches there, if they're worshiping Christ there, praise God. We want to reach those who are not in relationship with Jesus Christ. And so that's where we're going to focus on. And I'll tell you in a minute how we're going to do that. We are not going to go and stand on the corners of the streets and make fools of ourselves. We're not going to do that. So I think a big question that we have to ask ourselves is why are we here? Why are we in Paul? I mean, this church specifically has been in existence for 6 or 7 years. Other than this church, there are 51 other denominations, not just churches, denominations in this area. A lot of denominations, a lot of churches here. Why does God plant churches here? Why does God plant Shofar here? Who needs to be the beneficiaries of the fact that the Church of Jesus Christ is in Paul? And the answer to that is the beneficiaries are the community of Paul. I should say the beneficiary is the community of Paul. That is why we're here. God placed us here so we can make a difference here. God placed us here so we can draw people here to him, so we can see people here come to salvation in Jesus Christ. And again, I said it a few minutes ago, we talk about salvation. For tonight, it's a short definition, people walking in relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we're after. That's what we want to see happen. And God's giving us a bit of a strategy to do it, and it's really not rocket science. It's actually what we should do, what we should be. So it's not a new thing. It's just getting onto God's heart and onto God's plan. Again, a picture that the Lord has given me, it's maybe not so much the Lord has given me, but it's something that I've been thinking about. Just in terms of understanding what we have to do, how are we going to go and connect, with who are we going to go and connect? The church in this town, and let's make it personal. I mean, this sort of purpose is general. That's the purpose of the church, irrespective of which denomination, irrespective of which congregation. But when I'm talking about the church tonight, I'm just meaning this is where we have to get to. This is what God, I mean, God has it for everyone. Everyone needs to get onto it. But let's make it personal. Let's make it our vision, our focus. So what was I about to say? Okay, again. The church is literally like a living organism that God places in a community. And from that living organism, he sends sort of fingers out into the community. And the fingers that go out, it's the people that are part of that church going out, finding those that are not in connection with Jesus Christ, and then obviously drawing them in to be part of the family. And a number of the things that the Lord has given me, that he has shown me in terms of what he wants for us, one of the big things, the first two things that he told me was, well, one of the first two things was he wants us really to be involved in a community. Community involvement is something that's massively on the heart of God. And there's a lot of facets to community involvement. I think the first thing we will think of when you think about community involvement would be, we need to go to the poor, we need to feed the poor and help the poor and help those that are struggling. And that is a part of it, but it's way bigger than that. For our focus in terms of what we understand now as community involvement, I want to use the word infiltrate. God wants us to infiltrate the community. And it sounds a little bit like we're a bit scaly, we're going to do things. That's not what it refers to. It's just we need to get out there. We need to influence. And the word infiltrate is actually amazing how God confirmed it. About 2 weeks ago, one morning in a week, I went up on the mountain and I just prayed specifically to hear from God, what's his heart for us as a church? What's his heart for this town? And that was the word that he gave me. We need to infiltrate the community. And that means everyone, everywhere. And then the Lord confirmed it last week with my wife and I. We've got two little kids, and we always put them in bed together, and then we pray together with them. And the Lord just in that moment, at a very random moment, showed Erica exactly what we should do, or not exactly, but in terms of, again, the same thing, us infiltrating the community. And it sounds a little bit funny in one sense, but it's really a powerful concept. Us being a church, a living organism that God has planted here, and we ourselves, we are the ones who go and reach those that are not part of the family, that are not part of the community, and we bring them in, we make them part of it. And those people that God wants us to go and reach is not the random guy, it's not the parking attendant, it's not the lady behind the till. It's specifically those people that we are in relationship with. People at work, people wherever we are. There's a lot of places where we connect with people. And I think to really make it practical for us, make you understand, I mean, every one of us, we are staying somewhere in or around this town. Most of us are working in or around somewhere in this town. Some of you, I know you work far from here, but irrespective, the same thing applies there. So we stay somewhere, we work somewhere, we exercise hopefully somewhere. We are somewhere in one of the social circles of this town. So we are already in relationship with a lot of people. And among those relationships are people who do not walk with Jesus Christ, who do not fellowship with him, who do not commit to him, who do not or connect to him, who don't have relationship with him. And those are the ones that the Lord specifically wants us to focus on, to facilitate them to a place of salvation and make them part of the living organism, make them part of church and what he wants to establish in terms of that. And I think regarding that, we have a major mindset shift that we have to make. We need to redefine our life purpose. And most of us, we would have spent a lot of time earlier in our let's call it our younger Christian years, and maybe some of us just went for what we had in our hearts, and it's fine if you do it that way. But we ask God, Lord, what must I do? What must I be? And the Lord said, no, go and be an engineer, or go and be a doctor, or go and be a physiotherapist, or whatever. I mean, whatever you're doing. We're doing all sorts of stuff. And I think what we need to change, what we need to redefine is, yes, I'm an engineer. Yes, I'm a doctor. Yes, I'm this, I'm that. But that's not the primary thing that I do. That's not the primary thing that I am. I'm first and foremost a child and a representative of Christ. And what I do, what I am, facilitates what God wants to do wherever I am. It's just a means to get to the people. And so it's a big mind shift that we have to make. And I think in terms of that, I think it's, and if you look at the statistics in terms of people who get saved and all those sort of things, people who, especially people after the age of 18 years old, they say 80% of Christians actually gave their hearts to the Lord before they were 18 years old, which is one of the reasons why youth ministry and children's ministry is so incredibly important. You're just a lot more open to receive from the Lord. But after that, most people who come to Christ come to Christ because of a friend, because of a family member, because of someone they know who's been walking with Christ. Most of them. Very few people get saved by someone who randomly jumps on them in the mall and talks to them. And that's why the relationship that God places us in is incredibly important to him. And we need to change our focus in terms of why we are in those relationships. I talked about our outreach not being to foreign people, specifically those being in relationships with us. Another thing that the Lord has showed me last year, last week, Thursday evening specifically, it's actually amazing. When I saw it, I was just amazed. You know, we are doing a lot of different things. We're in a lot of different places. A lot of stuff. And I thought about the scripture where Jesus said that the harvest is truly plentiful, and pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest field. And I was thinking about where we are as a church, and then specifically where the individuals within church are. And I get the picture of these cornfields, and what I see is a lot of people already standing in the field. In other words, to a very big degree, we are already positioned within the harvest field. We're already out there. We're already connected with people that do not know Jesus. So all that we have to do is we have to take out the sickle and we have to start harvesting. But there's a problem. And the problem is we don't. We don't harvest. We don't use the sickle that God has placed in the backpack that he gave us. And the question is why? Why do we not? And I believe there's two reasons why it doesn't happen. The first reason is obviously, like I've said, we need to have a bit of a mind shift change in terms of why are we where we are? Why am I working where I am working? Why am I doing whatever I'm doing in terms of exercise, in terms of study, in terms of work, whatever? A mind shift change in terms of I'm there as a vessel for God to use. And then secondly is, I really believe we're unsure. We're unsure, okay, I've got this desire. I see this and this and this person. This one is struggling in his marriage. This person is going on trans parties every second week. Blah, 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 blah. Seeing the stuff. The Lord's been showing you stuff. You've got the desire to connect. You've got a desire to help. But you're unsure how. And I think we're often unsure how because we lack the skills to connect with them, to talk to them, to help them. And then a big one is we lack the confidence to do that. And that is where what we want to do this year actually becomes a lot more practical, because that's what we want to instill. That's what we want to trust God to really get us to that place, a place where we are equipped, a place where we have the confidence to do what we need to do. Because I do believe there's a lot of us here, we've already got the heart. Some of us don't, and we need to change that. We need to trust the Lord to really bring a change in that, and it's something we need to submit to him in terms of what he wants to do. But for many of us, we've already got the heart. We just don't know how. And so we're gonna trust the Lord to what we're going to do and what we want to see established in this church to facilitate both of that. Facilitate a change in heart and get us to a place of being equipped in terms of what he wants us to do. Matthew 28, 19, we read it, 19 and 20 actually. In the first part of 20, go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Jesus already gave us the strategy that we need. We need to go, that's the one, so that's something that we have to do. But in terms of having and seeing ourselves equipped, seeing ourselves growing, and facilitating a change of heart, getting the skills, the ministry skills, getting the confidence, the whole issue of making disciples, discipleship. We've mentioned it last year, we've mentioned it at the beginning of this year. It's one of the things that we're really trusting the Lord to establish. And we're going to place a big emphasis on it. And so what I want to do for a big part of the rest of the sermon tonight is just to unpack a bit what we want to see in terms of discipleship, why we think that's going to help in facilitating us to a place of connecting to those on the outside. Again, in something God wants us to do. So why discipleship? Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 13. Again, a very, very, very well-known piece of scripture. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the first thing that I want you to do, I want you to get out of your mind, get out of your head, the first things, the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers. Let's focus on what it says after that. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So in other words, God's plan is that every single person in church is a minister. In other words, equipped with the skills, with the ministry skills to facilitate ministry wherever it needs to happen. Firstly, for building up the body of Christ. So there's an internal focus. We need to be family. We need to grow in love. We need to support one another. We need to encourage one another. All those things that comes with it for building up the body of Christ. But building up the body of Christ happens in two ways. It happens internally, where we as a church grow in terms of who we are. And it happens externally, where we as a church do what we have to do in bringing more people into the body of Christ. So there's a bit of a full circle thing that happens. That, yes, we need to build up the body of Christ so that we can be at a place where we go out to bring people into the body of Christ in order to build up the body of Christ. You see that? So it's an internal focus so that we can have an external focus, so that we can have an internal focus. It's the thing just runs the whole time in terms of what God wants to do. So there's ministry that needs to happen inward, but most of the ministry, I believe, that we as Christians should do is outward towards those that we are in connection with who don't know Jesus. That is ministry. And that's not the prerogative of the pastor or your small group leader or whoever. It's not his job to get them connected with Jesus. It's the Christian's job to get him connected to Jesus. And we want to trust the Lord to establish you in skill and confidence in terms of that. And I believe if we want to do that, it's really something where every one of us is necessary. Every one of us is necessary, and therefore we need to be equipped. We need to grow. We need to grow in our love for one another. We need to grow in having Jesus' heart assimilated into ours. We need to grow in skills so we can go out there and connect with those who desperately, desperately need him. So what we want established in this year is to see every single person being in a discipleship relationship. And that doesn't mean we're going to add a complete new structure to church. That doesn't mean we're going to do it necessarily top-down. All we want is that the friendships that you already have change, not necessarily change their focus, but make them more doelgerig. What's the English word for doelgerig? Purpose-driven. To make them more, make it more purpose-driven in terms of, yes, we are friends. We are godly friends. Let's make sure that we together grow in Christ. Let's make that one of the core issues in terms of why are we friends. So we want people established in that and to see people grow in Christ. So we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Who here are standing in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? No one's got the confidence to raise their hands because no one is there. We all need to grow. We all need to grow. Discipleship is one of the things that helps us grow the quickest. Helps us get there the quickest. So we want to see people really, really grow in Christ. And when I say grow in Christ, it's really, it's a holistic thing. It's growing in terms of our hearts, seeing God's heart established inside of ours. Psalm 34, 37 verse 4. Always confuse the two. Says there that he gives us the desires of our hearts. And it's a very easy scripture to make ourselves and to use it in a very selfish way. But we can see it in God placing his desires in our hearts. And if we want to get there, being in relationships where we are helping one another grow just makes it so much more easier to have that growth in our hearts. Then we need to grow in our thinking, in the way that we think, in the way that we approach life, in the way that we approach work, in the way that we do whatever. Seeing our thinking change to be in God's way, according to God's way, and not the ways of the world. Then thirdly, we need to grow in our character. We need to grow in overcoming our own weaknesses. Like I said this morning as well, we tend to be Christians, or we tend to be unsaved, being in the world and having an anger issue. And then somewhere along the line, we meet Christ, and now I'm just a Christian who has an anger issue. I'm just a Christian who's got an issue with patience or whatever. I mean, all sorts of things. Character weaknesses. And those are things that the Lord can help us in. Those are things that we can grow in and we can grow through and we can grow out of. Seeing character growth in our lives. One of the areas of discipleship is really a holistic thing in terms of our own personhood as well. Then the fourth one, make sure I'm just not going to miss myself, obviously. I said it quite a few times already. Growing in terms of our ministry skills. Getting to a place where we're able to lead someone to Christ. Getting to a place where we're able to get people, get someone spirit-filled. Whatever's necessary. Whatever's necessary in the place of that person. Gifts of the Spirit as well. Able to minister the gifts of the Spirit in small group towards one another, but then also outward. If you go to, any of you ever been to a trans party outreach? Okay, two or three. That's really a place where the gifts of the Spirit has to minister if you want to connect with one of those peoples. It's really, yeah, it's something that we want to see established in that, and getting all of us to grow from not just confessing our faith, but to actually living out our faith. So, yeah, what we're going to do in terms of the discipleship for this year is we're going to start right from scratch. We're going to start right from the beginning and then ask one another, before we head out, ask one another, are you growing in Christ? Are you growing? And so, like I say, we're going to start again right from the beginning and just make sure that all of us, that we are following Christ, we are heading in the right direction, we are helping one another grow, and then we're going to head further. And what we're going to start with, obviously, is just the basic disciplines. I don't think we're going to do an extensive, long teaching about all the disciplines that are out there in terms that we can do. I'm going to give you a list in a minute that's just showing you a lot more of the stuff. But these are the basics. We say we want to grow in Christ. Okay, so let's make sure we are. Let's focus on the basics. And the first one, obviously, there's time in the Word. And I think if we really want to be a disciple, it means you are following Christ. So the first thing that's going to have to be established is time in the Word. Time in the Word meaning reading the Word, thinking about the Word, contemplating the Word, meditating on the Word, speaking to others about the Word, about stuff that you read, either you don't understand or it's the Lord speaking to you through some scripture or whatever, speaking to people about that, getting the Word literally assimilated into our hearts. Time in prayer, different sorts of prayer that we've got. I'm not going to talk too much about that. I think why this is for me important in terms of discipleship is many of us, we spend time in the Word, we spend time in prayer, but there's also many of us that don't. And again, some of us don't because we don't know how. So what discipleship does with something basic as spending time in the Word is, let me show you how. That is discipleship. Spending a bit of time with someone in quiet time, in prayer, helping them to see how it's done. And it's just, I mean, the whole discipleship thing is obviously it's way wider than this. We just want to establish a bit of culture. We're going to start with the basics and start and make sure everyone right from the start is a part of it and on it. And take it from there. Obviously, worship, similar thing. One thing I've got there as well is relationships. And just something that I want to tell you. I know a lot of you have seen it. Gili have shown many of you guys last year. Just the spiritual growth charts in terms of how it works. Why we would focus on this. Why is this so important for us? Willow Creek in America, they've done a lot of studies, and it's empirical studies, it's scientific stuff that they've done to gauge the growth of Christians in church. And it's a bit of a graph. I should have had it on there. I'm sorry that I don't, but it's Christians people come to salvation, and they start to attend church, and they start to do the courses that the church has got, and if that's all they do, they grow for a while, but at some stage, the growth sort of flattens off. You get to a bit of a plateau. If you want to grow further, this is what needs to be established as a personal discipline in your own life. And this is from studies, this is what they've seen. It's time in the Word, time in prayer, and specifically the last one, they mention it, fellowship. Fellowship meaning not caring together, fellowship meaning spending time specifically around the Word of God together. It's a focused thing. And that facilitates sort of the next step of growth. And you can take the disciplines, you can go far with them in all sorts of different directions. I'll show you in a minute. There's the others. I'm not going to speak about them, but those are general Christian disciplines. Many of them, it's easy. I mean, relationship, witnessing, that's where we want to head to with why we're doing discipleship. Fasting. Just by the way, my hearing from the Lord that we have to come to Paul was in a moment of fasting. Or it's in a fasting time that the Lord told me that he's going to show me where he's going to take me. And just the day after, he showed me. So, important thing, confession, a service in church, a stewardship, and then the last two, solitude, time alone. It's not something we do very often. We don't see it as disciplines necessarily, but it's so important. But I'm not going to talk about that now. I'm going to lead you guys. I'm not going to lead you astray, but I'm going to focus on the wrong sort of stuff if I focus too much on that. What we want to see is literally just we get established in a relationship where we grow. We grow somewhere. And the basics is just a start in terms of making sure that all of us is part of it. But something that I want to say, I was busy with the graph thing. The last part of that graph, obviously, because if you do that and you do only that, only disciplines, again, there is a bit of a flattening off in terms of your growth curve in growing in Christ. Then there's another one where you actually start to take responsibility for ministry. And it doesn't necessarily have to be being a pastor in church and ministering and preaching, but it's taking responsibility for what God wants to do, what Jesus wants to do through you. There's a place, obviously, where you mentioned Nell, that's leading the children's ministry, those sort of things. That's part of it, taking responsibility for ministry. But this is something that we, in general, we can be all part of it. Taking responsibility for ministry, God wants to minister to people. He wants to draw people into his kingdom, into his household. And that's something that we can pick up. And the growth that we can experience in our own lives can be unlimited if we get there. So I said our view in terms of discipleship, why we want to see it established, and we're not gonna force something on you. We are trusting the Lord that it's something that's gonna be established in your heart that you want to do. You want to have someone spend time with you so you can grow in Christ. You want to spend time with someone else to help that person grow in Christ. And so we hope that it's gonna happen organically. We'll obviously see how it's growing and what's happening and where we need to just push it a little bit. We'll probably do that, but we want to see it just happen organically. We want our hearts changed in terms of our relationships with one another, in terms of where we're going. But in any case, discipleship, I said, a realistic thing. Really, where we want to get to, you'll get from those same studies where they are talking about our growth, is obviously once you're saved, you start to explore Christ. But then it becomes more. You get to a place of enjoying Christ or growing in Christ, and then next day we'll be close to Christ, and the last one would be being Christ-centered, completely, totally. My life totally depends on Christ. And not just depend in terms of, oh Lord, I need you for this breakthrough, I need you for that breakthrough. You are Christ's. You belong to him, and you can do whatever. And that's, discipleship is, again, is one of the things that that the Lord wants to establish within us. And once we are there, we should automatically have the heart to connect with those, wherever we are. And yeah, and then obviously we've got the skill set. In any case, I've sidetracked myself two times now. I said discipleship is a holistic thing. So there's a lot of areas where we want to see growth, and it's obviously first growing in the Word, growing in understanding the Word. Second one would be growing in terms of the fact how we assimilate the Word of God in our hearts, growing in our understanding of the basic doctrines, and I really mean the basic stuff, salvation, baptism, Holy Spirit, those sort of things. Growing in our hearts, seeing Jesus' hearts being assimilated into ours, growing in our thinking, growing in our character, growing in our overcoming of sin, growing in our skills. And like I said, just want to repeat it again, skills, I'm able to lead someone to Christ. I'm able to see someone Spirit-filled, able to serve someone with the gifts of the Spirit, growing in our confidence, and growing in the going part. I'm going out and actually establishing other people in Christ. So, yeah, what we really want to see is a deliberate focus in terms of the relationships we have with one another to make sure we grow. Because if we grow, if I as an individual grow, the church will grow. It sounds arrogant saying it, but if we see it in with all of us, if I as an individual grow, all of us, the church will grow. We will be building up the body of Christ. And if I as a Christian grow, then obviously we can go out and yeah, we can grow in terms of what God wants us to do as well. Grow in our skills, grow in our confidence. And what we would like to see then ultimately is that this that we have with one another, this discipleship, this spending time together, growing in Christ, isn't something that we will take outward, where we connect with those people. And obviously it'll work slightly different with someone who's not in a relationship with Jesus, but you can facilitate them to a place of connecting with Jesus. And then from there, yeah, just take the process further. So we've got a tool. I'm not going to say much about it now. I'm going to let Gilly preach about that in a couple of weeks' time, whenever he preaches again. But a tool that we're going to use, tool specifically designed to let us grow in confidence in connecting with those at work. And what's going to happen is we hope that ultimately we're starting with some of the leaders now, just doing it with them. And it'll grow out into the whole church where you become part of this thing, and then you use the tool and you use it as a connecting point. We're not going to say much about that. Just know that something is coming, and we'll take it from there. But it's really a tool that we can use to connect with people and ultimately get them to church and make them part of the family. So God's heart is really that we infiltrate the community, that we literally make a difference. And make a difference in terms of the gospel, seeing the fruit of the gospel actually start to happen. And and that ultimately is God's kingdom growing, is always to do with people coming to salvation in Him. So what we hope is that all of us will grow in Christ, will grow in Jesus, that literally Jesus' heart will manifest more and more and more and more in our hearts. And that, we'll grow in who we are, that we'll all make that mind shift, that head shift in terms of where we go, that we grow in our desire to connect with people, that we grow in our ability to connect with people, and that we actually do it. We actually go out and we connect with people. That's what we want to do. God's heart for us is really to infiltrate this community, to be to the benefit of this community. In other words, people see the joy, the freedom, the peace in Christ. They connect with Jesus. They become part of this family. And in order to get to that point, discipleship is one of the tools that we in any case need in church for our own growth, but we're going to use that as well to equip ourselves so that we can go out and do what the Lord has told us to do, because we know many of us, we aren't ready yet. And it's not because we haven't been in relationship with Jesus long enough. It's simply that we haven't been equipped. And that's what we want to do. We want to get established. Something that's on the side of it, I'm not going to say much about it now. We'll define it a little bit later and we'll speak to you about it. But there's always another angle in terms of church. And that's sort of more what we do on the intercession side, what we do on the praying side. And it's the whole picture of Joshua taking Israel into the promised land and literally possessing the land. And that's something that God wants us to do. Get into a place where we possess the land in this area. And it's something that happens, obviously, in prayer in terms of taking spiritual authority. So that's just a bit of a diagram in terms of our focus, in terms of our vision. We are a family. We're going to continue to focus on being a family and growing as a family. Within that, we want to see discipleship relationships established so that we grow in Christ, so that we can build up the body and become really effective in that. Also as a tool to help us to ultimately infiltrate the community. To get there, when I say infiltrate the community, it's something that happens in relationship. Infiltrate the community in relationship with people, connecting them with Jesus, and then praying, possessing the land, owning the land. And that's something that happens in prayer, taking spiritual authority over the place. And the two strands of that comes together, flows together, and gets us to a place of greater influence in this community. And it's not an influence, it's not an arrogant influence, it's simply influence for the sake of the gospel. Influence for the sake of the gospel. We're not here to be hidden away, we're here to be a light on a hill. And that's where we need to get to. That's what God wants to establish in us. So what I want to do, Marianne, while you're playing a little bit of background music and the band gets up stage, I want us to hang out the communion elements. We're going to do a bit of communion, or have a bit of communion. Communion isn't something that you do, you have it. And I'll say for you guys in a minute what we're going to do with it.